This is Neil Whiteside. Cambridge 105 Radio.
Let's see if we can't get you into a peaceful Ely feeling. See, I'm stuck now. I can't get past it. A peaceful, easy feeling. I'm joined in the studio by my first guest, Ed Gronhart. Welcome back.
Hello.
Now, Ed, you're a chiropractor, generally a man who sort of crunches people around and makes them feel better. Is that right?
Yeah. In a basic sense, yeah. looking after people from a point where they usually come in is where they have aches and pains, to then trying to make sure that actually that doesn't happen again, and they can maintain a better standard of life, really.
And in fact, we spoke earlier, did we? A few weeks ago, we spoke with your wife, who does baby massage and that sort of stuff. Yeah. So it's really a case of you can do much more than just go and see somebody like you when you're not feeling well.
Yeah.
You can start out in life much better than that, can't you?
Yeah, promoting health. Yeah, that's one of our key things.
It's lovely to see you again. Tanya Brint. Tanya, you do things slightly differently.
I do. I start with the mind, really.
Okay. And it does...
A bit ominous.
It does. It does strike me. We're here this afternoon to talk about stress and ways around it. It doesn't seem to matter what you do, and certainly if you're watching the newspapers and everything, everything seems geared towards winding us up, making us tense, making us stressed. Work... I hear friends of mine, colleagues who are good, jobs they do, and you think, my goodness. Is it just something? Are we making things worse for ourselves at the moment? Are you seeing sort of more and more people suffering from stress and stress-related illnesses?
Yeah, I think personally, you go into any doctor's surgery, probably most of the people in there, the underlying their symptoms is stress. Yeah, it's a huge deal. Although it's also a bit of a catch-all. So
yes, I suppose it would be very. But it seems to me, kids. Yeah, I mean, everyone worries about exams and things at school, but the pressure on children and young children.
Yes.
Does seem immense at the moment.
Yes.
And in my day, you kind of did at least have a bit of a life path mapped out. But frankly, for these kids, I mean, it's tricky to know where you're ever going, how you're ever going to afford a house,
yes,
what you're going to do for a job. We've got all this Brexit uncertainty at the moment. Yeah, for kids leaving school, it's not easy times, is it?
It's not. And then with the constant sort of pressures of, the digital technology we have in our hands and that as well, it's constant. It'd be easy not to sleep again.
So how do you tell the signs of stress? What are the telltale signs from both a physical and a mental way of doing it, Ed?
Well, I think the most common thing that I see is aches and pains, shoulders like pieces of concrete, headaches, and then the knock-on effects of stress. I mean, when we think about what the stress response is, it's a fight or flight response, and that hasn't changed from when we were prehistoric man, and so you are getting ready to run or to fight. So there's tension that builds up in your legs as well. Blood is diverted away from your digestive system to your muscles. So stomach upsets are quite common, and IBS type stuff.
If you
think about when I was at school, the number of people who were getting regular stomach upsets and stuff like that, obviously when we're sort of getting towards exams, it increased a bit.
Yeah.
IBS wasn't something that was bandied around in the 80s and 90s.
No, not at all. But we're seeing that as a result of the stress levels that people are having now.
I believe so, yeah. And there's pretty good scientific evidence to back it up now.
And Tanya, from the point of view of the mental side of things, what sort of mental attributes do people... What sort of symptoms do people exhibit there?
So when I see people, they're talking about overwhelm, just feeling like things are out of control, that, they don't feel in control of their lives, they've got no time, all that pressure weighing down on them, and weighing on their minds, and that often means less sleep, probably not exercising enough or getting out and doing things they enjoy doing. So, yeah, and they're just not able to find the time for that. That's how they feel, at least.
Okay, so presumably there's two ways we can approach this. We can say, all right, for people listening at the moment, there's, you might be thinking, it doesn't apply to me, I'm fine, I'm good. Okay, what do you do to carry on that way? What do you do to prevent stress building? And then what happens if you have got stress? Where do you go? Because it's one more thing on your list. Oh, my God, I've got stress now as well. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy, isn't it? Where do you start? What's the best way to handle all this?
Well, I think it's a feeling. it's a feeling to me. I mean, yes, there are physical symptoms which can happen if you're constantly under stress, feeling under stress. But so it's trying to identify that and then finding ways to. We were talking earlier. We've got a sort of bucket which has a hole in the bottom. If you can visualise a bucket, and you fill that up all the time with good stuff that you like doing and you enjoy doing, so when things are stressful and that hole is leaking out all the good stuff, you can just keep topping it up, and that keeps your sort of body and mind a little bit calmer, so you've got the reserves, because otherwise you just, all that stuff is coming at you, whether it's emails or the kids or the boss or whatever it is, it's all coming at you. But you've got the reserves in that bucket if you keep topping
up. Right, so it's keeping in balance. It's not trying to avoid the things that are a problem. It's not trying to not do them or anything. It's just keep the other stuff going too and try and counter it. Oh, my goodness. So you've got to allow time in every day or time in a week? How do you do that? How do you build in the good stuff, as you say?
I think it's not trying to change anything massively. It's just about building in little tweaks into your lifestyle which are going to help you. Doing the things, thinking about the things you really love, like listening to good music or dancing or singing or creating something, painting, drawing, you know, cooking even, or just spending time with family or friends. Those are all good things that most of the time don't cause you stress, or if they do, then just cut that down a little bit.
Try to see less of the family.
Yes.
I know what you're saying. And Ed, from the point of view, I mean, I guess most people, an awful lot of people nowadays, are just spending far too much time hunched over some form of electronic device. You know, you used to have a day at the office and you would sit and tap away, and then at least you would go home. In my day, at least you had to get up if you wanted to change TV channels. You had to get up and walk across the room at least a couple of times a night. People don't move, do they? They get home, they're in their chairs or whatever, the TV dinner, that's it, they're stuck. That can't be good.
No, and I think that you've hit the nail on the head in terms of the biggest problem we have now is the temptation to not be active. And we see that with kids, that as much as we do with adults, that when, say, you've got somebody who's got exams coming up, there's someone who comes in to see me who's got exams coming up, you sort of say, well, you know, how do you wind down? Go and play on the computer. Okay. You know, we've got to kind of get a little bit more of a balance with that and do some kind of physical activity. And just like when we were at school, I think that timetabling can be quite good. Giving yourself time where you just say, look, this is time where I'm going to go out for a walk, or I'm going to have an hour where I'm going to read rather than have the TV on, something like that, can be just, you know, just as useful. You don't have to be flying off to the gym, because that causes just as much stress.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because I decided the other week, I had a well man, and there was talk of half a stone needing to be lost. And I thought, well, that's okay, I can join a gym, that's easy. I need to do some more exercise anyway, so that's fine. But then there is now that pressure. That membership kicked in on Monday. I felt like I've been lousy for the past month because of jabs and a cold and everything. And now I know that I am paying, and there is a gym down the road from where I live with my name on a machine. And he's starting to wind me up. And it is so are there things I should be doing at home, perhaps, rather than say you're going to go and do a gym? Is there, you say about walking, but are there posture exercises and things I can do to loosen my neck up and things?
Yeah, I mean, certainly you can do postural exercises. You can go, rather than going to a gym, not that I'm knocking gyms, because they have good classes and good physical trainers, but it's not for everybody. Yeah. I think the most important thing that you can do is to find something that you enjoy. And like Tanya said, that could be something like dance. Going off and joining a dance class. It could be something more gentle like yoga. You could, and this goes slightly against what I've said, but you could actually stick something on the TV, but something active, like a kettlebell exercise DVD or something like that. And we can stream no end of stuff into our houses these days, so you can have a gym in your own house pretty much.
That's a good call. All right, so when should we be doing this? At the beginning of the day before we go off and do all the things that are stressing us out? Or should we unwind at the end or during?
I think it's building it into the lifestyle you've got. It's not always possible, is it, to, you know, if you've got to get kids off to school in the morning or whatever, it's not always going to be possible to go, right, I'm going to go and exercise. It doesn't work like that. So it's just finding the times. And I think it's around actually enjoying that time, because a lot of the time we feel guilty when we're taking that time to look after ourselves. And that just puts more pressure, like you're putting pressure on yourself about not going to the gym.
Yeah.
And that's even worse, isn't it? So actually going, you know, I am going to go for a walk, or I am going to sit down and read something or listen to some music that relaxes me. But I'm actually going to be mindful in that moment and enjoy it rather than feeling like I should be doing something else.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's, and it doesn't matter when it is. I really don't believe it matters. Do you, Ed?
No, not at all.
You're okay on that. Let's talk about the two big things that everyone does to de-stress. One is food, probably chocolate, and the other one is alcohol. I'm going to take a stab and go, those are both really bad things and aren't going to achieve anything. Would you agree with that, or how do we work around this?
No, I wouldn't agree with that. I think if something gives you pleasure, then do it. I think when it becomes excessive, then it's
right.
Probably an
so
addiction.
A little treat.
Yes. So if you're having lots of alcohol every day to cope with stress, then that is no longer healthy, obviously. But if you're occasionally going out for a drink and it's something you're enjoying with friends, then great. Or having a glass of wine at home. You know, if that's something you enjoy and it helps you feel relaxed, then great. But it's when it goes too far.
It's when it gets too much. And I'm guessing there are physical aspects to that as well, Ed. I mean, food, obviously, we've got to watch it a bit. Sugars, things like that.
Yeah, yeah. One of the big coping mechanisms from a point of view of, excuse me, stress response is sugar addiction and sugar craving. And sugar is incredibly addictive. So we do have to be careful about how much we take on and be mindful of the fact that when you're under more stress and strain and you're feeling pressured, it's too easy these days to get a quick snack, which is packed full of sugar. So just being mindful of that. Also, like we were just saying about, you know, there being a sort of a fine line between relaxation and actually then feeling under, using it as a coping mechanism. Mm. I think if you've got positive people around you who recognise when that has turned from a good thing into a bad thing, I think that's important, because you won't always notice it yourself. I know that my wife notices when all the chocolate has gone from the house.
Okay, and I guess at the moment we're talking about an ideal time of year, because we've all sort of got the sort of seasonal affective disorder. You know, I know we had a little brief bit of sun back at the beginning of February and it did us a real treat, and then it went again. And that was almost like we wish I'd never had it at all, really, because we were thinking, oh, great, spring's here. It is actually finally looking like spring has arrived, isn't it, outside?
Yeah.
Is this a good time of year to start and make those changes and start and think about what it is?
I think any day of the year is a good time to start.
Yeah,
January
the first, maybe.
Well, I guess there's a bit of that as well. There'll be a lot of people right now feeling, well, I did join the gym and I did do it for a couple of weeks and I haven't done now. Mm. So maybe there's some people out there at the moment feeling a little bit down with themselves and a little bit stressed again because that didn't quite work. What would you say to people like that?
That perhaps the change was too big and actually go for much smaller changes. Just tweaks.
That sounds doable.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. If we're not doing it, then at least you're doing something small as opposed to trying to do something big and then failing. So tiny little things that can make the difference.
Excellent. Ed?
Yeah, I would agree as well. It's very much about changing habits, one a week even, you know, and each one being a small one that is sustainable. Yeah.
Okay, great. Well, there we are. That's it, everybody. It's all doable and in small steps. That's the way I like things. If people want to find out more, Ed, how can they get in touch with you?
Well, they can look at Cambridge Family Chiro. That's chiro.co.uk. That's our website. They can find us on Facebook as well.
And Tanya?
Yes, my website is appetiteforsuccess.co.uk. That's where I am.
Excellent. Well, thank you both for coming in this afternoon. Let's hope it's the start of something good. I'll let you know how I get on with the gym.